Hi, this is Adrian Westney Jr. I'd like to invite you to stay with us today on another edition of the More Abundant Life radio broadcast. This program features the music ministry and the spoken word ministry of Pastor Wintley Phipps. And we do have a special program for you today, the conclusion of a very interesting message that was begun in our last program. The message on Gideon. If you heard the first part of it, you're certainly going to want to hear the conclusion of this message, and it will happen today here on The More Abundant Life. Before we get into our message for today, we're going to have some music. Music from Wintley Phipps. This song is entitled Marvelous in Our Eyes.
Lord, you're marvelous in our lives.
You are listening to the More Abundant Life radio broadcast. We just heard music by Wintley Phipps, the song entitled Marvelous in Our Eyes, and that's from the CD release entitled Wintley Phipps. My name is Adrian Westney Jr. As your host for today's program, I want to urge you to stay tuned to our program. We always have exciting messages, and today's message is the conclusion of a message that we began in the last program, the message on Gideon. If you heard part one of this message, you're certainly going to want to hear how Pastor Phipps brings this message to a conclusion. So now, without further ado, here is Pastor Phipps with part two of his message on Gideon.
The book of Judges, chapter 6. And I want to just read a couple of verses to begin. The Bible says, "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains, and caves, and strongholds. And so it was, when Israel had sown, that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites, and the children of the east, even they came up against them." Thank God for his word. God wanted to help his people, and he went down to the farm. He found a hero, and now Gideon was not a ruler. He was not a priest. According to the text, Gideon said, "I'm the least in my father's house." Gideon did not select one who was, how can I say this? Gideon was not one who was born to lead. I believe God, if God had not called Gideon, because the call of God on your life changes everything. Yes. Hallelujah. I believe if God hadn't called Gideon, he probably would have threshed wheat all his life. But sometimes, you know, I feel that way myself. I feel sometimes if God had not called me and pulled me out of the land of my birth, I would have grown up to become the mighty Phipps. I would have been a Calypsonian. But I'm so glad he called me. Amen. When God called Gideon, everything changed. And when God called me, everything changed. "Lord, why me?" said Gideon. "I'm the baby, the child, the last born. I'm from an insignificant family. I'm from an unimportant tribe." I know that mighty Phipps went over some of your heads. Amen. But I want you to know, God always knows the best man or woman for the job. Church, God doesn't always choose the one with the most talent. I, like many of you, have found out the hard way. Have you ever looked at somebody just oozing with talent and said, "That's the person we ought to get to do this job"? And you put them in that job. Amen? And you find out that when all is said and done, more was said than was done. Huh? I, like many of you, find out the hard way that sometimes the most talented people are often the most unreliable. And I would rather have the right spirit in someone God can teach than the wrong spirit in someone who knows it all. Believe me, when you can find talent that is teachable as well as dependable and dependent on God, that's a treasure. Servant of the Lord tells us the Lord does not always choose for his work men of the greatest talents, but he selects those whom he can best use. Scriptures tell us that the angel of the Lord appeared unto Gideon, saying, "Go in the might of the Lord. You will save Israel from her enemies." "How can I know," said Gideon to the angel, "how can I know for certain that the Lord has sent me?" And you'll find it in verse 16 of chapter 6. The angel of the Lord said, "I'll go with you, and you'll strike down every one of the Midianites as if they were one man." Gideon spoke up, "Are you really the angel of the Lord?" Verse 17, "Give me a sign. Stay right here till I come back with an offering." The Lord said, "I'll stay here. Go and get your offering." Gideon got a young goat, verse 19. Killed it, cooked its meat, took flour, baked some unleavened bread, Are you glad for the word of God? It was sometime before everything was ready. Then he put some of the meat and bread in a basket, some of the broth in a pot, took them to the visitor. Verse 20, the Lord said, take the meat and the bread, lay them on the other end of this rock, pour the broth over them. Gideon did as he was told. Then the Lord touched the meat and the bread with the end of his staff. Fire came out of the rock. Have mercy, Jesus. Consumed it, and it disappeared. And Gideon fell on his knees, said, oh, Lord, I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face, and I'm still here. Lord, have mercy. In verse 34 of chapter 6, Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. He blew his ram horn, and he called the men for battle. Servant of God says, to Gideon's credit, he didn't want to place himself at the head of the army without clear evidence God had called him. So Gideon went, took some time to pray, and he said, Lord, if you are going to save Israel through me, I'm going to put a fleece of wool in the floor. And if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth, besides then, I shall know that thou shalt save Israel by mine hand as thou hast said. And in the morning the fleece was wet, and the ground all around it was dry. You thought you would think that would be enough. Gideon thought to himself, this has got to be a fluke. Freak of nature. All the wool, after all, wool naturally absorbs moisture. So if there's any moisture in there, it's going to be in the wool. So I better ask God for another sign. And God gave it to him. He's trying to rule out logical explanation, you know. And then Gideon said, verse 39 of chapter 6, he said, this time what? Said, Lord, don't be angry with me. Give me one more request. One more test. This time in the morning, let the fleece be dry and the ground be wet. The next morning, Gideon awoke to find that the fleece was dry and the ground all around was covered with dew. He knew this time God was telling him he needs to go forward. And so he raised up an army of 32 part-time soldiers. The problem was they had to fight 135,000 Midianites. Thank God. I just want to say thank you, Jesus, for giving me the opportunity to preach this message in this pulpit today. It didn't look too good for the home team, church. But with God, all things are possible. So let's see what God does next. Verse 2 and 3. God says, the people who are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands. Amen. Now, therefore, verse 3. Proclaim in the hearing of the people, whoever is fearful and afraid, let him turn, depart at once. You see, there was a law in Israel that whenever they went to war, that anyone who wanted to turn back before the battle was allowed to do so. So Gideon couldn't believe his eyes when he thought, you know, he'd just carry out the requirement, but he had 32,000 with him. He said, all right, anybody wants to go home, you can go home. Next thing Gideon looked, 22,000 of the 32,000 headed home. Oh, but God was not finished testing Gideon's faith. Look at Judges 7, verse 4. The Lord said to Gideon, the people are still too many. Bring them down to the water. I will test them for you there. Then it will be that one of whom I say to you, this one shall go with you. And you look further. Everyone who laps from the water with his tongue, as a dog laps, you shall set apart by himself. Everyone who gets down on his knees to drink. Church, listen, all of a sudden, poor Gideon. God cut his little 10,000 to 300. You see, God can win with a few, just as he can win with many. Oh, but watch what God does. He doesn't give him swords. He doesn't give him chariots. He doesn't give him shields. He says, and God hands them a trumpet and pottery. He gives them a jar and a trumpet and says, okay, go fight the Midianites. Oh, my God is something else. And so
It was between 10 o'clock in the night and 2 in the morning. They surrounded the Midianites, and they did what God says. At Gideon's signal, they smashed their jars. Now, I know most of us would smash our jars and run. But they smashed their jars, and they yelled, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." Midianites thought they were surrounded by thousands of troops. And verse 22 tells us, the 300 blew the trumpets. The Lord set every man's, in other words, the Gideons, the Midianites started fighting each other and killed each other. And God rewarded the faith of Gideon. And that's what God wants to do in your life right now. He wants you to trust him in the little things. So all you got is a trumpet. All you got is a jar. But God wants to take your faith to another level. He wants to put you in a position where you got to trust him. Amen? And brothers and sisters, with the faith that God was leading him, Gideon, with a small band of men, won a great victory for the Lord. Well, maybe you're journeying down the pathway called life, Today, right now, I am under no illusion that some of you are up against struggles that are as big as a Midianite army. I'm under no illusion. Some of you emotionally, financially, spiritually. And sometimes it's not easy as you journey through life to tell which opportunities that come to you from the Lord and which ones are not. God says, take your time. Some of us have such a hard time telling when God is leading us. And you make decisions. There are times, even after you are convinced that God has brought you to a place, to a job, to a city, even to a spouse. There are times when, like Gideon, you may question. Lord, I got to put this fleece out. You wonder if God has really been guiding you. Someone, I don't know who you are, but something in your life this morning makes you long for some assurance that God is leading you. Let me share with you three ways, as I come down near the close of this message, that God reveals to you his will. Always check with the Word of God. Remember, when you're not sure, the Bible always is. When you don't know what's right, the Bible knows what's right. Remember, God will never require that you follow any other way than the way that's in his word. Amen? The second, and by the way, if God says one thing and your tradition says another, follow the word. If God says one thing and your preacher says another, if God says one thing and your boyfriend says another, follow the word. Even if your body says one thing and the word of God says another, follow the word. The second way God will guide you is through his providence. He'll close one door, he'll open another. Sometimes when God sees that your influence on your job does not reflect his character, he will allow things to happen to remove you from that job. God will orchestrate your departure from a job. You think the devil's against you, but the Lord is working for you. Sometimes God will let you get fired to move you to a better job. Sometimes when you don't put off that wedding, he will. Huh? So through the Bible, through providence, and through that still small voice, I wish I could tell you that Gideon made it into the Hall of Fame because of his victory. But I want to tell you today, I learned that he made it in spite of his victory. You know why? And as the organist plays quietly, I want you to look up one more text, Judges 8. Listen carefully. This is just amazing. Most of us, all we know about Gideon is the victory he won. But if you read, and you can go home and read it, Judges 8, verses 24 to 27. Let me tell you what happened. You see, Lord have mercy. Gideon Well, let me just read this and you'll understand. The season of inactivity that succeeds a great struggle is fraught with danger. After Gideon won the victory, you know what Gideon did? He asked for all the gold from the kings of Midian. Lord Jesus, listen. And Gideon made a breastplate, and he decided that he could go forward and by his own decision become a priest. I'm talking about the same Gideon. And he went forward and did something that God was displeased with him. But I got to read you this before I close, because this just touched me, and I'll tell you why it moved me. Because, listen, those who are placed in the highest positions can be led astray. Amen? Well, here it is. Thank you, God. Listen to this. According to the evil customs of those days, Gideon, after his victory, Jesus, went on and married, against the will of God, many wives. Gideon! The man of faith. And listen what the servant of God says. According to the evil custom of those days, he had taken numerous wives, and as at his death, he left no less than 70 sons. 70 sons. Most of y'all didn't know this about Gideon, right? All we know about Gideon is blow the trumpet, Gideon! Get the victory, Gideon! But after the victory, he married many women, had 70 sons, and servant of God says, beside these, there was another named Abimelech. One of his sons was named what? A what? What was his son's name? Abimelech. The Bible calls Abimelech the son of a strange woman. This person had no right to the inheritance with Gideon's lawful children, and his debased character rendered him still more unworthy. The sons of Gideon had concurred in their father's refusal to accept the throne of Israel, but Abimelech determined that he was going to get the throne for himself. Listen carefully. He endeavored to advance his own interests. He accused them of designing to seize upon the government, unite in its administration. He sought to convince the people that it would be much better for them to be ruled by one of their own number than by such a band. And listen carefully. Did you know that Abimelech killed every one of Gideon's other children? Except one. So this man of faith, hero, great victory. After that great victory, lost his way, made wrong choices, and his family was devastated. And so as I close, I ask you, this has been a really sobering series of messages for me. Because not one of God's heroes of faith were perfect. Every single one of them had flaws. Our job is to look to the only one who is perfect. Jesus Christ, the only righteous one. And so today, brothers and sisters, don't despair that you're not perfect. Don't despair that you often have to go before Jesus and ask forgiveness for your sins. Even God's heroes were men and women who were not perfect. I don't know about you, but this gives me hope. It tells me that I can be a hero for God even though I'm not perfect. Tells me that you can be a hero for God even though you're not perfect. Praise His name.
Well, that concludes the message for today and concludes our program for today. I hope that you enjoyed that message on Gideon. I do hope that you also appreciated it and it has been a blessing for you. I know it certainly has been for me. If you would like to obtain an audio copy of this message, today's message on Gideon, please call the Seabrook Church office at 301-577-6342. The phone number again, 301-577-6342. You will want to refer today to program number 256. That's program number 256, which will reference the program for today, the message for today, Gideon Part 2. Also, if you would like to obtain more information about the music that you hear on The More Abundant Life, or you would like to correspond with us here at The More Abundant Life, you may write to us at P.O. Box 1078 in Columbia, Maryland. That's Post Office Box 1078 in Columbia, Maryland. And the zip code or the postal code is 21045. That's 21045. Here at The More Abundant Life, we're always appreciative to our listeners for your prayers, your support, and your good comments. Until next time, my name is Adrian Westney Jr. I want to wish you God's richest blessings, and I hope that you will join us again for another program. But until then, remember the words written in John chapter 10, verse 10. That's where Jesus said, "I came that you might have life, and that that life might be the more abundant life."
Give what's in your